Chapter 13. The Returning Sun. Caliban.
I remember when all of this was forest.
Zahariel did not look at his companion while he spoke, but across the landing aprons, crane works and gantries of Aldarook's western approaches.
Joyous, replied Astolan. I love the reminiscences of old Caliban. I remember the stormbirds passing overhead. I was sitting on a destrier alongside Nemil, the lion and Luther, when Midris made planetfall here.
Your life has been noteworthy, Sir Zahariel, said Astolan, though without conviction.
It was still strange to hear the ancient Calibanite honorific from the lips of the Terran. Like most of the Earthborn that had been returned to Caliban, Astolan had adopted many of the customs and forms of his Primarch's world, save for the long braids of hair he continued to wear. Zahariel wondered if he detected a hint of sarcasm in the use of the term, but a glance at Astolan showed that the chapter master was staring into the cloudy sky, paying little regard to the librarian beside him. Astolan's attitude might have been mistaken for boredom, but Zahariel knew better. He did not need his psychic sense to pick up the other space marine's apprehension.
The return of our battle brothers is a cause for celebration, but you wear the face of a speared razor boar. If you remember so well the day the First Legion came to this world, tell me, how did you feel then?
Scared, admitted Zahariel. Overawed.
Uncertain?
That too, but later. It was too much to comprehend, but I felt the burden of history descending along with those monstrous metal birds. A fundamental context challenge. If I remember the teachings of the iterators correctly, that would be a situation that completely overwhelms a society or individual by revolutionizing their contextual appreciation of the universe.
Yes, if you mean an event that completely redefined the context of Caliban. One moment we were a world alone in an uncaring galaxy. The next, the latest addition to the Imperium, one of more than a quarter of a million worlds united under the Emperor.
Now, imagine what it was like for the lion.
Zahariel said nothing, lost in the memory of that world-changing event.
The burden of history settles again, said Astolan.
He pointed to the west. A dark shape could be seen breaking the cloud line, like a massive eagle in silhouette.
Do not be so sure it bodes well, Sir Zahariel. Keep your wits about you.
You think me giddy with excitement?
I think you have too much enthusiasm for the arrival of our brothers. Do not be so quick to welcome fresh change.
The thud of boots and whine of armor caused Zahariel to turn. A column of armored dark angels, 50 strong, ascended the steps to the broad platform of the main landing apron and arrayed themselves in several lines, bolters held across their chests.
What is this?
The librarian demanded. Are you expecting trouble? Do you know something I do not?
Relax, said Astolan,
though he did not heed his own advice as he looked pensively back up at the approaching stormbird.
It is an honor, guard. Our conquering brothers deserve suitable welcome.
Now Zahariel was agitated, unsure whether he trusted Astolan's explanation. He wished Luther was here to greet the arrivals in person, but the Grand Master had declared it would be better that the emissaries from the Legion were met by fellow space marines. Now that he thought about it, this explanation seemed weak to Zahariel.
On the instruction of Sir Luther, he asked Astolan.
On my own initiative, replied the chapter master.
Astolan looked at Zahariel and smiled, a genuine look of humour that punctured the fog of nerves that had clouded Zahariel's thoughts for the last few moments.
You should try using yours now and again.
Zahariel smiled back, suddenly feeling foolish for his doubts and paranoia.
We have long waited for this moment, he said,
by way of explanation.
The years have passed slowly, Sir Astolan, and my patience has been worn thin by their nagging erosion. Forgive my doubts.
Nothing to forgive, brother. We are all anxious to hear some solid news of what passes beyond the sight of Caliban. Much has happened in that time. Do you think the rebel legions have been defeated?
The hope sprang up in Zahariel's heart, unbidden, and he was surprised just how dearly he wished it to be true.
Is this unseen war already over?
Unlikely, Astolan replied. If the campaign progressed so well, the supply drops might have resumed. No, I believe the war continues.
Deflated, Zahariel waited in silence as the Stormbird turned in a wide arc and began its final approach for landing, circling once around the landing station before descending amidst the roar and flame of plasma jets. It settled heavily on the apron a few dozen meters away, a billow of hot air and dust gusting over the assembled Dark Angels. With a whine and a clank, the ramp descended, and a solitary figure walked down the gangway.
At first, Astolan did not recognize the Space Marine advancing with swift strides across the ferrocrete. The new arrival wore armor of black, but with a dark green shoulder pad. His face was a mess of scar tissue down the left side, three distinct ragged cuts slashed from nose to a missing ear. Astolan noticed that his left arm moved awkwardly and detected the additional hiss of bionics amongst the clank and whine of armor. His hair was dark and close-cropped, but it was the warrior's eyes, a distinctive deep blue, that brought forth the memory of his name.
Chapter Master Belath.
The other Space Marine looked at him with a hint of a sneer.
Astolan.
Neither of them spoke for several moments, their stares locked together.
Salutations, Chapter Master, said Zahariel.
The librarian stepped forward and raised a fist to his chest with a nod.
Sir Luther bade us to welcome you back.
Sir Luther?
Belath turned his penetrating gaze to Zahariel.
Many are the customs of the Order that were adopted by the Dark Angels, but the titles of rank are not amongst them. Matters seem to have regressed in the absence of our Primarch.
There have been changes, said Astolan.
He was going to say more, but Zahariel cut him off.
What news from the war? How soon should we expect the return of the Legion?
I bring messages for Luther, no other, Belath said. I will speak only to him.
Zahariel was nonplussed, but Astolan was not surprised by this admission. He stepped to one side and gestured for Belath to accompany him.
Come with us, and we will conduct you to Luther's chambers directly.
Astolan spoke the words with formality, biting back what he truly wanted to say.
We will also have ready the quarters for your warriors. How many will we be hosting?
The three of them strode across the landing apron, the guard of honor falling in behind as they passed onto the steps.
That will be unnecessary, Belath said. They will remain in orbit, ready to depart. Our stay will be as short as feasible.
And the warriors on the transports, asked Zahariel. How many have you brought back?
The transports are for taking, not bringing. Their crews are adequately supplied for the moment.
Astolan kept his silence at this intriguing piece of information, but Zahariel became quite animated.
So we are to be reunited with the Legion. Long we have hoped to be returned to the direct service of the Lion.
A land raider waited for them on a ferrocrete roadway at the bottom of the steps. Astolan stopped at the open access ramp and turned, preventing the other two from entering.
You did not answer my brother's question, Belath. Has the Lion sent for us?
Such matters are to be discussed with Luther. Those are my orders.
Belath waited for a moment, and when Astolan did not step aside, pushed past him.
The sooner you convey me to Luther, the sooner this will be resolved.
Zahariel frowned as he looked at Astolan, about to speak. The Chapter Master dissuaded his companion with a brief shake of the head.
As you say, Chapter Master,
Astolan stepped into the interior of the Land Raider and sat on the bench opposite Belath.
It will not be long before Sir Luther hears the truth of the matter.
Zahariel hesitated before choosing a seat opposite Astolan, a little distance from Belath. The librarian's grim expression was in stark contrast to his excitement of only a few minutes ago. With a hiss of hydraulics, the ramp closed, pitching the trio into a gloom broken only by dim red lights and display icons. The Land Raider's engines growled into life, and the tank lurched into motion. The three sat in silence for several minutes, each keeping his own thoughts. It was Belath who broke the quiet, attempting to sound conversational with his tone.
As we descended, my Stormbird happened to pass over the Northwilds.
Astolan caught Zahariel directing a sharp glance in his direction, but kept his gaze firmly on Belath.
The arcology seemed in some disrepair. It looked to me as though the forest is growing back.
Astolan detected accusation behind the casual words, but Zahariel answered first.
A regrettable turn of events. Caliban has suffered some instability in the absence of the lion. The arcology
The situation was dealt with, Astolan stepped in, directing a warning glare at his companion.
A small but noisy insurrection amongst the administrators and workers brought in from other worlds.
I see, said Belath. That would explain some of the damage I witnessed.
Witnessed whilst merely passing over on your descent, said Astolan.
Your eyes are keen, Chapter Master.
It seems a waste to let a whole arcology fall to ruin as the consequence of a small but noisy insurrection. I hope that there have not been any other failings.
Choose your words with more respect, snapped Zahariel. The lion left Caliban in our care, and we have not shirked our duty.
No insult was intended, Brother Librarian.
Let Belath keep his accusations veiled, Sir Zahariel. Astolan laid his hands on his lap as he sat back on the seat.
The Land Raider's mechanism detected his presence and extruded two arms to disconnect his backpack from the rest of his warplate. With a hiss of pneumatics, the power plant descended into the space at the top of the alcove.
His intentions will be made clear to Tsar Luther, and we shall know the truth in turn.
Belath said nothing, turning his gaze towards the driver's compartment. The journey continued in heavy silence. The closer they came to the gates of the Angelicaster, the more Zahariel could feel Belath's growing unease. Visibly, nothing had changed in the Chapter Master's demeanor, but within the walls of his mind there was agitated activity. It was as though Zahariel could hear the sound of rushing feet and babbling voices, although the source of the sounds was hidden. With his newly broadened perspective, the Master of the Misti could see the power of Caliban like a fog inside the Land Raider, pooling around himself, Astolan, and Belath. With just a little effort, Zahariel formed the energy into a hair-like strand, a tiny amount of power shaped by his will. He guided its tip towards Belath's skull, pushing it ever so gently between the protective bars erected by the Legion's training. Brute force would have alerted the Space Marine to the intrusion, but the slender tendril slipped comfortably into Belath's thoughts. The contact lasted only a moment before the tendril shriveled away, rebuffed by Belath's subconscious defences. But in that split second, Zahariel touched upon the turmoil within the Chapter Master. He glimpsed something, a spray of blood arcing in the air. Belath guarded the memory as though it were a stronghold containing a precious treasure. No, Zahariel realized, he kept it chained inside like the most terrible prisoner. Even so, at the moment of connection, Belath glanced at Zahariel, and in the instant that their eyes made contact, the Psyker felt a pulse of a single, overwhelming emotion. Guilt. It was very specific, directed at Zahariel personally. Whatever it was that absorbed Belath's thoughts, it had nothing to do with Luther, Astolan, or the wider situation of the Dark Angels. The Misti wondered what could make a Space Marine feel guilty. The answer came swiftly, but he did not want to believe it.
Tell me something, Master Belath, Zahariel asked, trying to sound nonchalant. Do you have news of my cousin, Nemiel?
Belath's look confirmed Zahariel's suspicion before the words had left his lips.
Nemiel is dead, brother.
And there again was that twinge of guilt. It was the lot of a Space Marine to fight and likely die in the service of the Emperor. Zahariel and Nemiel had long ago acknowledged the possibility, as had all warriors of the Legiones Astartes. Why would Belath attach such significance to the news, unless he perhaps bore some responsibility for the event?
I see.
Zahariel forced himself to remain calm, although his hearts were beating faster.
That is most regrettable. How did my cousin fall?
There was a pause before Belath replied, which to Zahariel spoke more than the words that followed.
Why did the chapter master have to think so deeply on such a straightforward question?
We were aboard the Lion's flagship, caught in a breach between our world and the warp. Entities attacked us, creatures made of the warp itself.
Zahariel caught another flash of an image seeping through the mental defenses of the Space Marine. Nightmarish figures made of fire and of blood, hounds with scaled skin, and a monstrous bird-like creature with two heads. And then the splash of blood again, thick globules hanging in the air like small feast day decorations.
That was not an answer, said Zahariel. How did my cousin die?
It is not for...
Belath's reply was cut off as Zahariel launched himself across the compartment of the Land Raider. Electrical circuits and light fittings exploded as the Master of the Mistai seized Belath either side of his head and summoned the power of Caliban. Like a wave, the energy crashed up from the ground and swirled into the transport. Tracks locked and drives froze as psychic power crackled across the Ceramite hull, bringing the massive engine to a skidding stop. Belath was shouting something, grabbing at Zahariel's wrists, but he did not listen. His golden stare drilled down into the chapter master, blades of psychic power visible only to him, piercing the thoughts of the Dark Angel.
What happened to Nemiel? Zahariel roared.
Belath tried to fight the onslaught, but his will broke in moments, shattering like a wall breached by the shell of a Vindicator siege tank. As his defenses collapsed, Belath's mind opened like a broken gate, revealing the road to the answer Zahariel sought. He plunged the daggers of his thoughts into the target.
He stood at the edge of the Strategium, monitoring the communications channels. Everything was in turmoil. The invincible reason thrown astray and unshielded into the warp by a Night Lord's attack. The flagship systems were ablaze with reports of creatures materializing across dozens of decks. From the external monitors came a disconcerting cackling and giggling, punctuated by bass growls and monstrous bellows muted by distance. The hull throbbed with the surging power of the naked warp. The Lion stood at the center of the main chamber. In front of him knelt a Dark Angel, a white tabard over his black armor, head bowed in obeisance. Surrounded by his personal guard, Brother Redemptor Nemiel stood over the kneeling legionary, his pistol and crozius in his hands. The kneeling warrior's helm was under his arm, his face half hidden behind long waves of black hair. It was Brother Asmodeus, formerly of the Librarius. The rumble of the doors drew his attention away from the tableau. Corswain entered, accompanied by the navigators. The Seneschal whispered something and motioned for them to stand to one side. The Lion looked across at Corswain.
Your timing is unintentionally impeccable, little brother, said the Primarch. I am faced with a dilemma. My liege, I do not know what is happening here, but I am sure it can wait a while. We need your guidance. The ship is under sustained attack from creatures that are almost impervious to our weapons.
The punishment of oathbreakers brooks no delay, said Nemiel.
Oathbreaker, said Corswain, looking at Asmodeus. I do not understand.
My little brother has transgressed, said the Lion, his tone even. Upon being attacked, he broke the Edict of Nicaea and unleashed the powers of his mind.
He performed sorcery, snarled Nemiel. The same vileness perpetrated by the Night Lords that now threatens our ship.
That is to be decided, Brother Redemptor, said the Lion. I have not yet delivered my verdict.
The Council of Nicaea was absolute, my liege, said Nemiel. Warriors of the Librarius were to curtail their powers. Asmodeus has breached the oath he swore.
Did it work? Said Corswain.
What?
Said Nemiel, turning his skull-faced helm in the direction of the Seneschal.
Asmodeus, did your powers destroy the enemy?
The former librarian said nothing, but looked up at the Primarch and nodded.
Interesting, said the Primarch, his green eyes fixing on Corswain.
I have seen firsthand what these things can do. They are,
said the Seneschal, hesitating. He took a breath and continued. We face Nephila, my liege, or something akin to them. They are not wholly physical, and our weapons do little damage to their unnatural flesh.
They are creatures of the warp, lorded Primarch.
The group of Dark Angels turned as the chief navigator, Lady Fianna, approached.
They are made of warp stuff, and the breach has allowed them to manifest in our world. They cannot be destroyed, only sent back. The gaze of our third eyes can harm them.
Is this true?
Asked the lion, stooping to lay a hand on the shoulder of Asmodeus.
Were your powers capable of harming our attackers?
From the warp they come, and with the power of the warp they can be banished again, said the librarian. He stood as the lion changed his grip and guided the legionary to his feet. He met the Primarch's gaze for a moment and then looked away again.
Brother Redemptor Nemil is right, my liege. I have broken the oath I swore.
A grave crime, and one that I will be sure to prosecute properly when the current situation has been resolved, said the lion.
He looked at Nemil.
There are two others of the Librarius aboard, Hasphael and Alberine. Bring them here. This is a mistake, my liege, said Nemil, shaking his head. The abominations that attack us, these Nephila, are a conjuration of sorceries. I swore an oath also to uphold the Edict of Nicaea. To unleash further sorcery will endanger us even more. Think again, my liege.
I have issued an order, Brother Redemptor, said the lion, drawing himself up to his full height.
One that I cannot follow, said Nemil,
his tone hard, though his hands trembled with the effort of defying his Primarch.
My authority is absolute, the lion said.
He clenched his fists, his lips drawn back to reveal gleaming teeth. A cold chill crept up the observer's spine as the lion took on his name in countenance. He thought he saw something savage emerging, but the Brother Redemptor was oblivious, or chose to ignore the warning signs. He wanted to cry out, to urge the chaplain to cease his protest, but he feared intervening in the unfolding drama.
The Edict of Nicaea was issued by the Emperor, my liege, said Nemil. There is no higher authority. Enough!
The lion's roar drowned out all other sound. He was not entirely sure what happened next. The lion moved, and a split second later, a cracked, skull-faced helm was spinning through the dull, glowing lights of the strategium, cutting a bloody arc through the air. Namil's headless corpse clattered to the floor as the lion held up his hand, pieces of ceramite embedded in the fingertips of his gore-spattered gauntlet. Something smashed into the side of Zahariel's head, knocking him to the deck of the transport. A glittering trail of gold linked him to Belath, until the connection was lost a second later. Astolan moved forward, his weapon pointed unwaveringly at Zahariel's left eye. He was just moments from pulling the trigger, his face impassive. The option screamed through Zahariel's thoughts. He could knock the Space Marine away with a raw blast of power, blind him with a flash of light, break the mechanism inside the bolt pistol, sway the Land Raider with darkness.
We heard only that the Librarius was to be disbanded. Nothing more.
He snarled the next words, barely containing his fury.
What was so powerful about this edict that my cousin died for it?
The command of the Emperor himself, gasped Belath. All Librarians were to cease using their powers and return to the battle ranks. There were to be no exceptions. I do not understand psychers very well, but your abilities were declared to be against the Imperial truth. So said the Emperor, and so believed Nemil.
In the couple of heartbeats it took to process this, Zahariel expected to hear the report of the bolt. Nothing came. Astolan stepped back, lowering his weapon. He thrust out a hand to push back Belath as the Chapter Master sought to gain his feet.
Stand down.
The First Master snapped at both of them. He turned his frosty glare on Belath.
Unless you wish for me to allow him to continue his examination, you will stand down.
Belath darted an angry stare at Zahariel, but made no further attempt to rise. Astolan returned his attention to the former librarian.
The lion killed Nemil,
said the master of the Mistai. He raised his fingers to his temple and saw congealing blood on his gauntlet when he took it away. Took off his head. The lion is not here, Astolan said, calmly, holstering his pistol. He offered a hand to Zahariel and helped him up. Belath is the messenger, not the perpetrator.
If Namil's will had prevailed, we would have all been slain, Belath growled. He had no right to defy the Primarch.
A crime punished by death without trial, replied Zahariel. I saw what you saw. The lion killed him out of hand. The comm unit was barking inquiries from the escorting vehicles, and the driver was bent at the hatch to his compartment, concern written across his face.
Is the Land Raider still operational? Astolan demanded.
A few electrical systems overloaded, First Master, but it will run.
Then why are you gawping at us? Get us into the Angelicaster.
The driver swiftly retreated, and the hull pulsed with the restart of the main motors. A few seconds later, the rumble of the tracks reverberated through the transport. Zahariel tried to push aside the memory of his cousin's death, as seen through Belath's eyes, but he could not.
The lion moved, and a split second later, a cracked skull-faced helm was spinning through the dull, glowing lights of the Strategium, cutting a bloody arc through the air.
Namil's headless corpse clattered to the floor as the lion held up his hand, pieces of ceramite embedded in the fingertips of his gore-spattered gauntlet. A cracked skull-faced helm, spinning through the Strategium, cutting a bloody arc through the air. Namil's corpse clattered to the floor as the lion held up his hand, pieces of ceramite embedded in the fingertips of his gore-spattered gauntlet. Namil's corpse clattered to the floor as the lion held up his gore-spattered gauntlet. A cracked skull-faced helm. Namil's corpse. Gore-spattered gauntlet.
Zahariel wrenched himself from the trance at the weight of a hand on his shoulder. Astolan gestured for Zahariel to sit as he lowered himself back into his alcove.
Now you understand the nature of the beast that was awoken, the First Master said quietly.
Why are you here?
Zahariel snarled at Belath, ignoring Astolan.
Why have you returned?
I am beginning to wonder that myself, the chapter master replied.